through Genesis, Genesis chapter 9. And this is quite a section, quite a chapter. We'll be able to make our way through it. Genesis chapter 9. God's opportunity for mankind to start over. Genesis 9, starting at verse 1. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, and on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat the flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is a sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the clouds, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk, and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. Then he said, Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brethren. And he said, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So all the days of Noah were 950 years. And he died. Lord, we are so grateful to be able to come together to worship you, to proclaim what a great God who you are in the midst of everything that's going on in the world. Lord, all over, it's just headline after headline of crisis and problems and everything else that's happening in our country, around the world, all kinds too. But Lord, you are still on the throne. You're in control. You're the one who Scripture says is sovereign. There was no one like you. You alone are God. And Lord, we thank you that you are in control, that life is not seemingly out of control. But Lord, you will work all things together to your plan to bring about your intended end, which for those who love you and belong to Jesus will be the beginning. So Lord, thank you for your goodness and your great sovereignty and righteousness and mercy. And Lord, for those thinking of your mercy, and even in our church family with serious needs and others that we know of, Lord, serious things, various types of cancer and all. Lord, just for your help, Tim and his burns, and this other man. Lord, just for your help, please. And as you would be pleased to touch people's bodies, would you strengthen their hearts as well, too? And even in all this, Lord, draw them closer to you. Lord, I pray again for our country, as your word says. We pray for those over us in authority, for the leaders, that we may live peaceable and quiet lives as your children, and have a good testimony of the gospel. Lord, we pray that your will is being done in our country for those who, whether they know you or not, Lord, you know the timetable, and you are the one who sits over all the kings of the earth. And so we thank you for that. But we do pray for them that your will is done. And Lord, again, in our own hearts, in our own lives, the things that we have need of might not be physical, but Lord, for your wisdom, for your mercy, and for your grace, we pray. We acknowledge because we are needy. And more than anything else, Lord, we need you. So as we come to your word, Lord, give us a good understanding. Give us ears to hear. Give us hearts that will respond. And Lord, let us hear from you. Speak to us. Speak to me. Lord, all these things for our good, for our eternal good, for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A chance to start over. A chance to start over. What an amazing possibility. How many people through years of life would have thought, because of things that have gone wrong, choices made that they never should have, what about a chance to start over? Isn't that great? You know, I mean, this is part of the hope of the gospel. We'll get there. But a chance to start. Well, here it is for mankind. We've been through creation. We've been through God establishing everything perfectly. We've been through generations of growth, of human development, and more population than you can shake a stick at. And we've seen the downside of humanity, the effect of from the original sin of disobedience to God, how it affected everyone, and the way the landslide went until God finally came to, you know, we need to start over. And the flood being not just a form of judgment, but as an opportunity for those whom he wanted to begin again. So here they are. We've seen in chapter 8 everything from the flood coming up and then receding, and now God is speaking to Noah. Isn't it interesting that God's voice is the only one that's recorded in chapter 8, and then in chapter 9, it's him speaking, and you have to get to the end of chapter before it's even Noah. But all of this is what God is saying. That's very interesting. So here we go. We'll go through this quickly. The things that he's telling Noah, it's kind of like, in this new to you world, here's the basic things. Here's your basic operating standard of, here's what's going to be. And he begins with, in the first part, what I call community, verse 1 of chapter 9. We'll read every verse through, but look at them as we go. Community, the blessing of family, the blessing of community, human growth. Again, he repeats this, what he gave to Adam and Eve. Hey, be fruitful, multiply. Have kids. Have lots of kids. Multiply. Don't just add, multiply. Here again, he repeats that. God wanted lots of people back on earth, community. The second thing, verse 2, authority, safety. That verse basically reads, man is the head. He's the head of the food chain. Basically what it says, authority, the head of the animal chain, the fear of you, the dread of you. And then verse 3, provision, nourishment. Here we go. Not just plants. Remember at the start it was plants. And now what does God say? Animals as well. Given for you for food. You know, okay, so I know there are people that think, well, the best diet is going to be just back to the Genesis diet. You know, vegetables and seeds and nuts. But it's like, okay, they need to get a little bit further out of the Genesis chapters 1, 2, 3, and get to Genesis chapter 9. And it's like, meat as well. Here it is. So, provision, nourishment. And then verses 4 through 6, I titled it under respect. 4 through 6, respect. Because there is a respect even for animal life. Verse 4, look at it. Don't eat the flesh. That is, don't eat animals the way animals eat animals. They just sort of get in there and let go. No, not with the blood. And the Bible will have a lot more to say about blood, more than even just here, but why not? But don't be that way. Respect for animal life, for life is in the blood. And then respect for human life. Verse 5, verse 6, respect for human life. Because he says, I will require from the hand, end of verse 5, I will require an accounting to ask. I don't know. I mean, verse 6, okay, just to clear it up. Now we're going to learn later, it talks about shedding man's blood here. What about war? War is war. War is nation to nation. Even God had the nation of Israel do war, and for good reasons, too. War is war. But here it's, I'm just going to go and just pick up someone and just kill them for whatever, because I don't like them. This is individual. So there's a difference. Well, if man can't shed man's blood, see, that's usually, what about wars? Be a pacifist. It's like, no, nation to nation. But this is just individual to individual. We are not given that right. And the kicker of it is, the reason why, it's because we are made in the image of God. That's what it says. Look at it closely. I don't have time to read it all over again. Verse 6 at the end, for in the image of God, he made man. That's why. So you take away the image of God, and there's no respect for life. Doesn't matter if it's in the womb or out of the womb. You take away the image of God, there's no respect. what it is about the human being that's different from all other animals. Because as we've seen in the early chapters of Genesis, it's the human being that was made in the image of God. And all that that means. Great thing. Great. But that's the reason that God says, because of that, you just don't go and play God in someone's life by taking their life away that way. Okay. Respect. Respect for human life. Image of God. Then he repeats, though, verse 7. And I like how he starts it. And as for you, it's like, okay, let's get back to this. As for you, though, because the focus should be on what is more positive. As for you, have kids. Have a family. If you can, have lots. As for you, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. That was his intention. Focus on life, not focusing on death. So there is that. Remember, at this time, it's still God who is going, giving through all this. And then finally, the covenant. Verse 8, down through verse 17, the covenant, the agreement, the contract, the arrangement. And basically, the arrangement is no more worldwide flood. That's a very careful sentence. Not just no floods. Didn't God say no floods anywhere? No. No more worldwide flood. So don't worry about the movies that Hollywood puts out, you know, the day before tomorrow, after yesterday, or whatever. You know, however, you know, float your boats kind of thing. Or climate change, sorry, you know, the coastal lines are going to be under, it's like, wait a second. Honest scientists are going, it's going to take us about between 50 to 100 years to, on the average, raise the temperature of the earth 0.2 degrees Fahrenheit. 0.2, not even 2. Okay. Anyways, so no matter what, and the scripture goes consistently with this, no more worldwide flood. No more flood. Worldwide. It's not there. That's the covenant. God will not again, and he's very careful in the language, not again. Now, four elements of this covenant, to go through it quickly. Four elements in verses 9 and 10. I hope you're following along in your Bible. By the way, this is God speaking. First of all, it's a universal covenant. It's universal. It's for all mankind, all flesh, all people, all time, everywhere. You notice how he sort of repeats that? Hey, this is for mankind and all flesh. All flesh. If you got flesh, you qualify. If you're an animal, you qualify. It's for all. It's universal. Number two, it's verse 11. It's unilateral. Unilateral. That means this is one-sided. This is God's doing. God is still speaking. Nobody's interrupting. He has I, me, or my in this section some 17 times. I, me, I. And then the you or yours will be 9 times. As a matter of fact, he says, verse 12, I make. Verse 13, I set. Verse 14, I bring. Verse 15, I remember. Verse 17, I have established. And that's the way it is. He's attaching himself to all the verbs about this. It's unilateral. It's like God stating, this is what's going to be. This is not, it's a covenant, but I'm setting it. I'm setting the conditions. You have no choice. I mean, it's a good covenant, because what's the sign of the covenant? On a cloudy day, you can't see the sign of the covenant. I don't know, maybe there's a rainbow up there somewhere. But you know, you've seen rainbows. But what's interesting is where the scripture says, the rainbow shall be seen. Verse 16, where God says, I will look on it. Now, it's for us to know, because he's establishing this covenant with mankind, but it's God saying, hey, from my perspective, when I'm looking on it, This is what I will remember, as if he forgets. He does not. But when I look on it, I will remember. So God is more concerned about his perspective and his part in his covenant than ours, because we're at this point, we're just coming along for the ride. We are. It's unilateral. This is what I'm doing, God says. Number three, another thing, it's through here, but it's unconditional. That is, there's no if verses. If you do this, where God says, then I will do this. It's just, here's what I'm going to do. There's no conditions to this. Unilateral, universal, unconditional, and verse 13, it is unmistakable. The sign is a rainbow. It's unmistakable. When you see a rainbow, you'll know it. It's unmistakable. There's not a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Just so you know, this is even better than a pot of gold. It's even better. It's unmistakable. Because in God's covenant, arrangement, agreement, contract, what's at the end of the rainbow is a promise. And that's better than a pot of gold. That's all I can say. So, it'd be wonderful if the chapter ended right here. It's like, okay, and so here we go. But it continues on because you step out of the first half of the chapter, you go into the next, and it's back to Noah. Noah. What happens to Noah? Now, what we're called attention to is, so parents, I'll explain this to your children sometime, but at this part, Noah gets stone cold drunk. There's just no other way to explain it. Now, for those of you who think this was quick, do you know it takes a long time to grow a bit? I mean, the earth has been devastated. Obviously, there's plants and stuff still hanging on there, but it takes a long time to have a vineyard that's been ruined to grow back into the place where it will grow grapes again. It takes a while. It's not overnight. Noah was very aware of the condition of the morality on earth before the flood came. Very aware. Preacher of righteousness, the New Testament describes him. And so here he is. Sometime later, rather than just taking too many sips and lights out, and there he goes. Again, the scripture is clear on the descriptive. He drank, 21, was drunk, and uncovered himself. He just didn't forget where his clothes was. It's like in a drunken stupor. There's a couple things here. Two things survived the flood besides everything that was on the ark. Sin did too. You know it. Sin did. Jesus said, sin out of the heart of men, out of the innermost condition, it comes. So he drunk, became uncovered, passed out in his own tent. What a sight to see. No, wait a second. What a sight not to see. Because it goes from bad to worse. Again, the scripture in its language, verse 22. You might go, saw. It's like, oh, he glanced or whatever. No, there are good scholars that say this. The verb that's used here is he looked. He looked. And then he went out and told. And the words that's using told, and the crime, the punishment fits the crime, the word that's used to told can carry with it a meaning of mocking, making fun of. Hey, guys, you want to take a look and see what dad? Because the punishment fits the crime. So there's Ham showing complete disrespect. Now, that's what happens. The two other brothers, and again, you have a very careful picture here, don't you? All right, get a covering, get something. And without, between the two of them, and without looking backwards, just going in all the way and covering them up. Oh, because love, we find in the New Testament, covers a multitude of sins. But we'll get back to that. Covered him up. And then you have Noah waking up, 24 to 27. And you'd think, well, he knew what Ham did. And yet he says in 25, cursed be Canaan. Now wait. In verse 18, Ham was the father of Canaan. He's using his grandson name. Why doesn't he say, cursed be Ham? Is it possible? I mean, we're talking probably adults at this point. Is it possible that he's seen Canaan, his grandson, already depicting worse behavior than his father, Ham? Because he says, cursed be Canaan. Now, that's a possibility. Another possibility is this is prophetic, because we will see how the line of people that came through Canaan for centuries were Israel's sworn enemies. Whoa. Cursed be Canaan, not Ham. So there's that. Two reasons. Shem and Japheth showed respect. Showed respect. A couple of thoughts to close with this, then we'll come to communion. Okay, I've said this before. My worst enemy is myself. I am my own worst enemy. If I could just do something better with me, I would have an easier time. Does that make sense? No, that's Noah. He was his own worst enemy. Because that's human nature now coming through. However, here's Noah. I'm jumping ahead. Often our greatest enemies are ourselves. Our deepest problems often come from the depths of our heart. Yeah, because God wiped the earth clean, told Noah it's time to start over. And then there's sin. It's like environment didn't cause it. Education or lack of was not the root. Economic status had nothing to do with it. He just chose to sin. Our enemies. Another thought. Noah, preacher of righteousness. Here's something I need to tell myself as well. Don't take your Christianity for granted. Noah, at this point, 600 years old, found grace in the eyes of the Lord, preacher of righteousness, 100 years working on the ark, preacher of righteousness. Remember that? Folks, judgment's coming. There's going to be a flood. A flood, what's that? Lots of water covering everything. Judgment's coming. The God, the creator of the universe. But here we're building a place of safety. Noah. Preacher of righteousness. Don't take your Christianity for granted. Here's Noah. In past midlife, 600 because he's only going to live 350 more. In his older age, in his own home, 1 Corinthians 10:12, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. What are sins that older Christians can get into? older Christians who've been a Christian for a long time, walked with God, same as younger ones. Immorality, gossip, slander, whatever. We are on thin ice to think, well, I would never fill in the blank. Like, wait, Noah, preacher of righteousness. Don't take Christianity for granted. However, God makes all things new. All things new. And so you have the thread through all of Scripture of if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, Paul wrote to the Corinthians. God still makes things new. And then this covering, Psalm 32:1, written by David, blessed is he whose sins are covered. Love covers a multitude of sins out of 1 Peter chapter 4. And yet, love does more than just cover. You go like, well, okay, he's covered. I'm covered. But wait, God's love does more. Because I also read in the New Testament, it washes Paul to the Corinthians in an incredibly immoral society of those Corinthian Christians. You are washed. And then to Titus, the washing of regeneration. See, it's one thing to cover, but it's like, well, if you cover something, isn't there like still underneath it? Okay, well, how about washing too? Washing. Cleansing the stain away. Cleansing it all. You are washed. The washing of regeneration. And yet, in Romans 5, that I'm portion looking at tonight as we're working our way through the explanation of the gospel, more than even washing, he makes us righteous as well, which is even more than being clean. Righteous in the sight of God. So all of that, God makes all things new. And here we have that in picture again for Noah, stumbling and falling and yet being covered as an act of love, which is what Jesus does to all who come to him. The old is gone, the new has come. In Christ, a chance to start over. Covered, cleansed, changed because of what Jesus Christ does in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you so much for it. And Lord, these lessons from here, just even back then, human nature is human nature, but your grace is so much more greater. Much more. Much more. As Paul would write in Romans, much more. Thank you for that. Lord, here we have an opportunity again to remember what you, Lord Jesus, did on the cross for us to bring us new life, to start over. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your hymnal, please.